Hello and welcome to DeveloPod, the podcast from IATEFL's Teacher Development Special Interest Group. My name is James Taylor, and on today's episode, I'm very pleased to be bringing you two interviews done by my co-host Christian. So we've been doing a series of podcasts on the future of teacher development, and in this episode, our interviews will be focused on the future of teacher development from a technological perspective. The first interview is with Vicky Samal. Vicky is a teacher, trainer, materials writer and presenter specialising in technology integration and project-based learning. She has worked for major publishers and is the coordinator of IATEFL's Learning Technologies SIG. David Reed is the subject of our second interview, and he's the director for Technology Enhanced Learning at the English Language Teaching Centre at the University of Sheffield. He has been working in EFL for over 20 years and has worked in 11 different countries. He's a Cambridge CELTA tutor and a certified Google teacher and has years of experience running online and blended teaching and training programs. So let's hand it over now to Christian, who'll be kicking things off with Vicky.
So what is your background? What do you do at the moment? And what's your particular interest in English language teacher development, Vicky?
Well, when people ask me, what do you do? I always say I'm a teacher. First and foremost, I'm a teacher of English. I have always been for more than 30 years. And then I got involved into other things like materials writing and presenting and teacher training. But I still go back and consider myself a teacher of English, first of all.
Wonderful. And where do you teach?
I teach in two schools. I teach in a secondary school, an official secondary school in the Argentinian educational system. And I teach the last year of secondary. So these are students who are about to graduate and hopefully go to university or find what they want to do in life. So it's really interesting and exciting. And then I teach in a primary bilingual school. So that's quite a different context, really.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We've had a few primary school teachers, but not many secondary school teachers in the state sector on this podcast. So that's really nice to get that diverse vantage point, if you like. So I believe you're also the coordinator of a special interest group for IATEFL, SIG. Is that right? Can you tell us?
I am. Many years ago, I got interested into learning in learning technologies, and I got involved, and that led me to IATEFL and to getting involved with IATEFL, and I became a committee member back in 2013, which is 10 years ago. And then that led me little by little to where I am now, which is the coordination of the LTSIG.
Fantastic. So it's in that capacity, I suppose, or at least that slant that we've invited you today to talk about teacher development, particularly in learning technologies, right? So what would you say are the main ways in which teacher development have changed in the last few years?
First of all, I think that technology completely changed the landscape of teacher development, especially making it more accessible for anyone looking for alternative options to face-to-face TD. Online conferences, online sessions, courses, workshops. But also, I think that facilitating connections among educators from all parts of the world through social media and especially communities of practice. Mm-hmm. And that's what technology did for me, in fact, allowed me to become a connected educator. And that led me to, of course, improve or make better use of my TD options.
Okay. So, I mean, that was really revolutionized during COVID, right? But it started well before in terms of people's personal learning networks. Would you say yours started well before or during COVID?
Yes. Yes, I did start well before, but what happened during COVID, I mean, I was already on social media and I was connected and I had already taught online. In fact, I was a remote teacher for a master's degree in Colombia back in 2010, I don't know, and gave my classes online and used Moodle at the time. But what happened during COVID is that most teachers had to learn how to teach online and to be able to manage the technology to be able to survive the pandemic. Yes.
For sure. We have some parallels. I also worked in Colombia, but we can talk about that later. I just chatted to Gabo and an interview just went out with Gabriel Maggioli, and he seems to maintain that although COVID changed things at the time, it didn't really change things very much medium long term in terms of teacher development. I'm paraphrasing him, of course. Would you agree with that?
No, what I think is that schools or institutions did their best to cope with what they had at hand. But when they came back to face-to-face, I saw that most of them were desperate to go back to pre-pandemic standards. Instead of looking at what had been successful during the pandemic and try to rework or redesign the way things work.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. But they went back to their old insets in service training, you know, workshops once a week, and then relying on other people to do their own training, mostly online, yeah. Right? And it never really integrated that new learning. And so what themes are you exploring within the LT SIG at the moment in terms of teacher development?
Well, what's hot now is ChatGPT, isn't it?
I tried that.
The use of artificial intelligence chatbots that can create conversations and maybe give you answers, though it's being proved that it can be quite inaccurate at times. So we need to have a close look into this to see how it can really help teachers.
Okay. Yeah, I tried it out a couple of weeks ago and asked for a 2,000 word essay on a certain topic. It did give me a very dry and very well phrased essay, actually, but it wasn't 2,000 words. It decided to give me, I think, about 500 words, and apparently that was enough for me. But yes, it's still a work in progress. Still a work in progress, right? So what new areas do you foresee in the future teacher development in terms of technology?
I really don't know. One thing that it's really interesting, and it's not new at all, really, is the use of technology to record classes so that you can do teacher observation or peer observation or even self-assessment, like watch again what you've done. And reflect on your teaching practice. I think that in that sense, technology has also been groundbreaking. And I'm sure David can tell you a lot more about that. He has some very interesting things he has been doing at university. But I'm not so worried about what is going to be the future. What I'm really excited about is that the possibility of finding teacher development options to fit any theme so that you can create your own personalized pathway to teacher development and to grow in professionally. That is really exciting for me. I think that is the future.
I think you've touched on the topic, which Claire Steele and Sarah Smith in another episode will explore much more in terms of personalized TD, right? Just going back to what you said, about software and platforms for observation, for recording and tagging observations. As far as my research has shown me, they can be quite expensive. Have they already come down in price, or are they likely to and become more accessible?
I don't think so. I think they're still very expensive. And if you want to, I mean, and That's why I say David has very interesting experiences he's done at the university, but with quite expensive equipment. Of course, you can still do it the low-tech way and just place a camera like somewhere in the class, either at the back or at the front, or two cameras, and so that you can record both the audience, your students, and the teacher, and then see the interaction that happens. And I think we can still do it low-tech.
Certainly, and I think the opportunities afforded us, particularly during the pandemic, allow most schools to do that, I think, in a low-tech way, and hopefully other alternatives will come down in price in the future. So how will teachers, do you think, need to adapt in terms of teacher development and seeking perhaps that personalized teacher development which you mentioned?
Yeah, well, I understand that institutions will need to continue to provide teacher development for the staff, and especially on topics that they deem important and necessary for all. But I would like to see a more decentralized view of TD, where institutions encourage teachers and help teachers to find their own personalized path of TD according to their needs, because there are so many different contexts and teachers and interests and types of English teaching and young learners and teens, business English and ESP. So I think that thinking of an only way of doing TD would be kind of short-sighted. So rather provide the help that teachers need to find their own quality TD for their own needs.
Mm-hmm. I think that touches on what many of our interviewees have said on these podcasts, that it needs to be more decentralized, more bottom up, with that necessary component from managers. But from my experience, managers actually tend to be teachers, but nonetheless not always experienced in providing teacher development in terms of what the teachers want. And so that onus, that push needs to come from teachers, I suppose, right?
I'm sure it has. I mean, I don't think I ever got a TD session from my own institution that was something that I really thought I needed. So that's really harsh. But so that's why I say the technology has allowed me to find the TD that I needed and that I wanted, and to pursue my own interests. But still, it is the institution's responsibility to either provide some kind of TD or to allow for time for teachers to do their own TD.
Yes, and that's something that Gabo touched on as well, in terms of just allocating one session per week, which is paid for, and that's acknowledged, whether that be in-house, and that may be just the teacher sharing and finding out what they need and their students need, or something externally. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that in every school, in every institution, there are different teachers that are experts on different aspects. So it's also kind of recognizing who is good at what and tapping into their own expertise to maybe provide TD sessions for the rest of the staff.
Yes. Yeah. And so what should perhaps a teacher's priorities be for teacher development over the next decade or so? I'm particularly thinking in terms of learning technologies. I mean, Gabo mentioned, for example, artificial intelligence and virtual reality and so forth. Do you think these are things that are coming over the next decade and that we need to look more into, or are they going to be shelved for
the... We have already been talking about for a decade, haven't we?
Right.
Especially about virtual reality. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's ever going to be like the thing. I think it's going to be there and some teachers will be using it. I'm not sure it's going to be the thing that everybody has to. What I do think is essential is that As I said before, there are so many different teaching and learning contexts that it's hard to predict the same priorities for all teachers. However, the ability to become a connected educator that can reach out to other colleagues to find the necessary information they need on the support to grow professionally in their own areas, that is a must. The ability of a teacher to become a connected educator, I think.
Okay. And are there any particular, looking into a crystal ball, learning technologies or platforms or software that you think might become ever more useful and so necessary to train up in?
Really, I still go back to Twitter, to my PLN on Twitter, to my own communities of practice. There are a few that I'm part of, and I think communities of practice have a place and have been very, very successful in capturing a group of people's interest and the ability to move forward as a group and to support each other. So I go back to Twitter. I go back to Facebook groups. It might be outdated, but it's still there, and it's still a good way of finding what you need.
Okay, super. Is there anything you'd like to mention before we call this interview to a close?
I would say that whenever we talk about technology, there are people who cringe, like, oh, technology. Still, and sometimes people ask me, like, okay, how did you do it? How do you manage? How did you learn? And I said, I'm a bit of like, well, my children used to look Dora the Explorer. And I say, I'm a bit like Dora the Explorer. I mean, I experiment, I try things out. You cannot break the internet. So you need to be a little bit adventurous and curious and keep on learning all the time and not afraid of experimenting.
Great advice. Yeah. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody. I wonder if you'd agree with me that we perhaps need to look back at that online learning experience we've had and reintegrate that into our both online and face-to-face, particularly teaching. I mean, just something as simple as, if I can mention it, WordWall, for me, revolutionized teaching, right?
Absolutely.
And how often do people use that kind of thing face-to-face these days? So,
well, I do still use it, but of course I am an LT person. Yes, exactly. I mean, we got to learn about and use so many online resources for our teaching online that can still be used in face-to-face sessions that it's a pity not to be taking advantage of those.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Vicky, so much for joining us. And good luck with everything in the LTSIG and in your own personal learning journey.
Thank you so much for having me.
So welcome to David Reed to our virtual recording studio. Thank you so much for joining us, David.
It's a pleasure to be here, Christian.
And where do you find yourself today, and what's your particular background in English language teacher development?
Well, at the moment, I'm working at the English Language Centre at the University of Sheffield, and I've been here for about 13 years. But prior to that, I worked abroad in many different locations, and you know, as part of that, started as an EFL teacher, but then moved into, you know, teacher training through becoming a director of studies at various schools, and then, you know, became a dedicated teacher trainer working on sort of intensive TESOL courses and CELTA courses. And now my main focus is the use of technology. And so my official title now is Director of Technology Enhanced Learning here at the Language Centre in Sheffield. And I support and run sessions for our teachers here on the use of technology, and also run a series of sort of online courses focusing on the use of technology in teaching.
Super. You're the man we need in this podcast. By the sounds of it. So what would you say are the main ways in which teacher development has changed in the last few years, with a particular emphasis on technology, of course?
I mean, obviously, I think there are two ways you can look at that. The first way is The way that teacher development has been delivered over the last few years through online webinars, hybrid delivery, and obviously the pandemic has been a key factor in that. So that's made a massive change really to the way that teacher development has happened. But I also think that like the content of what we're looking at in teacher development, technology has significantly changed that. I remember when I first came back to Sheffield 13 years ago, and I became the kind of technology coordinator quite quickly here, almost no workshops are on the subject of technology. It was still possible to teach without being that comfortable, knowledgeable, or even using technology very much in the classroom. But that's changed massively over the last 10 years or so, where so much of what we deliver now always has a technological aspect to it, because of so much of teaching is involved with the use of technology as well.
Okay, great. So what themes do you currently see in teacher development vis-a-vis technology? Maybe specifically?
I mean, I think obviously the most recent things that you're beginning to see are the rise of things like artificial intelligences, ChatGPT, and these tools. And I think they're going to have a massive sort of effect on the nature of teaching and the nature of teacher development. We've been looking at some of these tools over the last few months, and even in their early stages, it's incredible what some of them are doing. We were looking at a website, I think it's called Mindsmith recently, which you can type in and say, I want a lesson on the present perfect, and it will create all of that in a matter of seconds with materials, gap fills, multiple choice questions. So what it's capable of doing, even in these early stages, is scary in some ways. But I think that's going to become a massive aspect of teacher development in the coming years. And we're going to have to address these AIs, both from a sort of a negative perspective in terms of them potentially being used for cheating and plagiarism and all of those kinds of things, but also the tremendous sort of opportunities and affordances they might give us in terms of materials design and in terms of support for students. But as teachers, we're going to have to learn how they function, how they work, and how they can be exploited.
You mentioned sign of gap fill exercises and so forth, which is the mainstay of teachers. How well do you think these tools at the moment and in the future potentially can and will be able to replace the creativity necessary on the part of the teacher?
I think teaching is oddly resistant to technology taking over. I think there's always been many calls over the years that robots are going to take over teaching, or this is going to take over teaching, that MOOCs are going to take over teaching, and that the teacher's role is going to be massively diminished and we're not going to have jobs anymore. And yet, through all of this time, we've survived, and teaching has survived and thrived to a large degree during this period. And I think there's something about the complex nature of language learning that makes it very difficult to automate any of these processes. So I don't think we should see any of these tools as a threat. I think we should see them as an opportunity to do some, quite repetitive and tedious tasks for us, to allow us to focus on the things that matter in the classroom, because things that matter are how we respond to students, how we engage with them, and these kinds of things. It's not necessarily about creating fairly basic materials in the classroom.
Yeah, I suppose I was asking because something like a gap fill is the mainstay of teachers, and people fall back on it, and I suspect that AI tools will use that as the main component, or one of the main components, because it's easy to automate. And yet a truly engaged lesson often has to completely revolutionize the use of a gap fill, in my opinion, or have something as an alternative, which is much more creative. So I suppose that was my question, rather than necessarily having to justify the use of AI. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a threat, but how well can it actually perform the function of helping a teacher truly teach and engage students?
On that level, I don't think it can, certainly not at this point. I think in the coming years, we might begin to see how AI can do that. And I think one of the areas that's going to be quite interesting might be where AI and other technologies, things like virtual reality, might begin to wed together. And we might begin to see ways that, particularly in the process of teacher training, we can get if you can put teachers into a sort of a virtual reality context with, you know, AI generated students, the possibilities for teachers to sort of practice and develop their teaching within a fairly sort of low stress, you know, natural environment is I think it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, super. Yeah, it certainly does promise to be extremely interesting. But how would you say AI and the use of perhaps virtual reality and so forth will be able to provide an economical alternative and supplement for teachers and institutions? Because things are coming around. I was talking to Vicky about observations and the use of technology there, for example. What would you say? Is it really going to be accessible to people? And will people really need to adapt in the near and medium term because it may be more expensive?
I think longer term, we're going to see that coming in. But I think in the shorter term, I think more accessible technologies like video, mobile phones, these kinds of things are probably going to work better. From the perspective of things like economical observations. And it's certainly something we've used in some of our courses, using teachers to kind of either video themselves teaching and then sending us the recording to have a look at. We've set up sort of video cameras in classrooms to observe. And then you've got that there as a tool for analysis for a long time, rather than just relying on your memory of the event. And I think those kinds of tools, which are both immediate, cheap, economical, and efficient, I think can have a tremendous impact on teacher development, teacher observations, teacher training as well.
Sure. I agree. And those things are already with us. So perhaps it's just a matter of time until more complicated and currently more expensive tools are available, right? And how do you think teachers will need to adapt in terms of teacher development, in terms of technology, that is?
I mean, I think teachers have had to adapt over the last few years. I think there's been quite a shift in the last few years about the way that teacher development is kind of delivered to people. And you may have seen this as, or felt this as well, that, you know, I think, again, when I came back to the UK, 12, 13 years ago, a lot of it was about our centre sort of delivering sessions to the teachers, regular workshops, away days, afternoons where there'd be multiple sessions, almost like mini conferences. And gradually over time, the nature of teaching has changed quite dramatically, with people dispersed and teaching online and face-to-face. It's becoming very difficult to do that kind of teacher development anymore. And teachers really have had to sort of take more responsibility on themselves to sort of curate their own teacher development. And that's through, communities of practice, joining various groups online and through those groups, they can find out, what the opportunities for teacher development are, what webinars are available, what kind of training is available, and helping to identify what areas they need to develop in as well.
Okay, super. Yeah, in fact, Vicky was talking about similar things, that vital community of practice. Yeah. So what should a teacher's priorities be? And that's a difficult question because there are many shades of teacher as well. In terms of teacher development in technology over the next perhaps decade or so?
It's a tricky one to answer simply because we don't know where the technology is going to be going. I mean, I think an awareness of some of these newer technologies is going to be helpful. Awareness of AIs, awareness of virtual reality. It's not necessarily that we need to become experts in these areas, but just being aware of how they could be used and what the opportunities they provide, I think is going to be really, really useful. As they develop as teachers in the coming years, because these are going to be technologies that are going to come in. There are going to be, for a long time, we thought there were never going to be sort of online classes and online courses and online schools. And particularly in the last few years, that's changed drastically. We are going to begin to see, VR courses online, VR schools. And, these things already exist to a certain degree. And I think just being aware of those things, finding opportunities to get trained in them, to go to webinars about them, I think will really, really help them to adapt to the times and adapt to the changes. Because, over the last few years, there's that concept of what TPACK, that idea of this idea of like technological, pedagogical and content knowledge, mm-hmm. You know, and for many years, the sort of the P and the C were the important things, the pedagogical and the content knowledge. That technical side has become increasingly important. And so raising awareness about that and being able to align your technical knowledge with your pedagogical and content knowledge has become a lot more important.
So it's staying aware and I suppose vital yeah. to staying interested, right?
Exactly, yeah. And I think, you know, staying part of these various, you know, communities of practice and finding communities that you feel comfortable and happy with is going to be an important part of that. You know, and I, you know, I'm sure like you belong to various SIGs, various online groups, you know, and finding ones where you're finding like-minded individuals. I think that's a really, really key thing.
Thank you, David. Is there anything else you'd like to add on the subject?
I don't think so. I think, you know, the key, I think, for teachers is for them to take, they have to take a more sort of proactive role in their own development, I think. And simply because I think there's fewer opportunities being provided because of the nature of modern teaching. It's, you know, it's becoming a bit more of a kind of a gig economy, I think, teaching, where people are, you know, self-employed, they're working for themselves, they're working different places, different times, different countries. And so development might not be easy to access or might not be easily provided. So taking your own development as a key priority and finding ways to sort of curate your own development is going to be really important.
And what, in your opinion, is an institution's responsibility for that?
I mean, I would still like to see institutions provide more training, but, you know, again, you know, in our own institution, I've seen a shift towards more, you know, curated content rather than direct training itself. So we have teacher development coordinators at our center. Maybe 5, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, they would be doing training and running sessions themselves. Now a lot of it is pointing us towards resources that we can access for our training, pointing towards online webinars, conferences, et cetera, materials that we can watch, YouTube videos, et cetera. And I think that, you know, give, like I said, you know, the nature of our teaching here is very fractured as well now, you know, with teachers all over the place in different places, trying to get people together at the same place at the same time has become virtually impossible. And so, you know, still making a case for having teacher development personnel, but their role rather than delivering sessions might be about curating content for teachers to be able to develop themselves.
That's super clear. Thank you, David. Good luck with your ongoing work in teacher training and development. And thank you so much once again.
It's a pleasure, Christian.
So thank you for listening to this episode of DevelopPod. And of course, thank you to Christian, Vicky and David. Don't forget to stay in touch with us by hitting subscribe on whichever podcast platform you are listening to us on now. And make sure you keep in touch with TDSIG by following us on social media. We'll be back with a new episode next month. But until then, thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.